I have great privilege this morning to read a part of a wonderful story, absolutely true. The birth of the Lord, the whole process, the coming of the Savior, all this month to come, getting ready for Christmas Eve, and where we'll be here and celebrate by candlelight. And in the second service on Christmas Eve, we'll have communion together, and you're all invited, and all of your friends and family are invited too. This is Luke chapter 1. We begin in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was. And he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, in these next moments, we remember the story, a part of it, at least. And we look in awe and wonder upon it. And yet it is such a joyful thing for us. Help us remember. Help us to carry this miracle with us each and every day. In the name of your Son, Jesus, the one born to a virgin, we pray. Amen. This is really not a sermon this morning. This is perhaps a message. Maybe it's really just a remembrance of this wonderful piece of scripture that we've read so many times and yet never, ever loses its mystery, its majesty, and its power. There were a group of expectant fathers. They were in the waiting room in that wing of the hospital. Their wives were there in the process of delivering babies. A nurse came in. She had a big smile on her face, and she announced to one of the men that his wife had just given birth to twins. And he was very excited. He says, That's pretty wonderful. He says, "What a coincidence, because I play for the Minnesota Twins." A few minutes later, there was another nurse that came in. She had also a big smile on her face. And she found the father and she says, "Congratulations. I want you to know that you have triplets." He says, "That's astonishing. I work for the 3M company. And it was in that moment there was a gentleman that slipped out of his seat and he just laid on the floor. And when they asked him, "Are you okay?" he says, "I don't know. I work up for 7-Up company." We joke about having babies. My own experience, the plan was for me to be with Barbara all the way through delivery. At the last minute, they got me out of there because there was stuff going on, and so I went to the father's lounge. In those days, you could still smoke in the father's lounge. And so I was sitting there, and there was a cloud just above my eyes, literally a cloud of cigarette smoke, and I'm thinking, is this what it's like? I've always seen those cartoons, and in those days it was. And then I waited and waited and waited, and I saw Barbie's doctor go down the hall and went right past, and I thought, what was that all about? And then she came back about 2 minutes later, and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we forgot to tell you. You have a baby girl." Amazing, amazing, this bringing children into the world. Barbie and I had a wonderful friend and her husband. She was 42 at the time. They had had two beautiful children. The youngest was 15. And then one day they came to church and said, "Oh, we're pregnant again." And of course she got teased some for being 42, but what a beautiful child that was. And then, while we were in Eureka, there was a young couple. They had just gotten married. And they had a baby. This is terrible, folks. The pastor counts days. It was like 9 months and 4 days after their wedding that that baby was born. It was such a wonderful thing, but a real challenge for them because, you see, he was still in school. He eventually became a firefighter. Both of those births to our friends and then that young couple came as such a surprise. And so this morning we speak about an absolutely surprising birth also. One like no other, one that would change the world forever, and one that we celebrate as we begin this season of Advent. The facts involved with this birth are fantastic. Fantastic is when something happens that your eyes pop open as wide as they possibly can be. Fantastic is when only God is the one who intervenes in regular human lives to bring about miracles. So first of all, we need to consider Mary. We don't know for sure exactly how old she was. The scholars have tried real hard to think this through, to work it out. We do know that she was a teenager, and so she could have been as young as 13. She's pledged to get married. It's kind of like our engagement now. But in our engagements, of course, someone is going to ask the other one, "Would you like to marry me?" But in those days, for Mary and Joseph, the marriage was arranged. The parents would get together. One of the archaic but important things in those days was there would be an agreement on a price for the bride. And once that price was set, then that price was paid to the father of the bride. I have two wonderful sons-in-law. In our discussions, because they both came to me first and asked if they could ask my daughter to be married to them. In both of those cases, I forgot about the bride price thing. Slipped up. Now, in this arranged marriage, this was more than an engagement like you and I know. This was actually a pledge. This was considered a very tight bond. And the couple would live in this pledge time for a year. They would both stay with their own families during that time. But the pledge of marriage, the engagement, if you will, could only be broken by death or divorce. And if the bride was found to be pregnant during that year, the year of the pledge, then the marriage could be annulled. You know? But when God wants to do something, he just does it his way. God is not bound by the physical restrictions of this world that you and I live in, as wonderful as this world is. And so God sends an angel to Mary. It was Gabriel. I'm so glad we know the angel's name. Angels come when they bring news from God. In this case, it was great news. And the angel basically said to Mary, "Boy, are you blessed. You're going to have a baby. That baby is going to be a king when he grows up." And the language that Gabriel was using, that language would identify for anyone living in that time that this baby was going to be the Messiah, the Savior. So why in the world would God himself, in the person of his Son, the Savior, come to this world as a baby? Well, I have several ideas. First and most of all, Jesus loves you. That's why he came. He wants you to understand that he was a human being. He knows all about it. Just like you and I do in whatever stage of life we're in. He knows about the joys and the hard times that you and I can have. Think about this. Jesus knows the problem you have with diaper rash. Jesus knows how hard it is to pay attention in school when the weather outside is really, really nice. Jesus knows what it was like to be bullied, to be picked on. Jesus knows what it feels like to lose a friend. Jesus knows what happens when families are broken up in divorce. And most of all, Jesus knows what happens to us when we die. You see, he knows the promise of eternity and the glories of heaven because he's been there. Jesus also knows the happiness of a human life. What it feels like to celebrate with family and friends. Jesus knows how much fun you can have at a wedding. That's a wonderful story. You should go read it again, The Wedding in Cana. Jesus knows the satisfaction of resting after a hard day's work. And Jesus knows that fishing is really good for your soul. I imagine that Mary was pretty much perplexed with all of this that was going on. You know, she knew about the birds and the bees and how could this possibly be happening? Oh, the challenges of the community finding out. Because she knew. She was a virgin. How could she have a baby? But you know something? God takes care of all of the details. In a way, he was telling Mary, you need to know that things can happen that shouldn't happen. Well, consider your cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was pretty old by the standards of the day. She was long past her years of childbirth. And yet, the angel lets her know. Mary goes and visits, doesn't she, eventually, to check this out. But the angel says, Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. And another wonderful piece of this story, that baby that Elizabeth was carrying, that was John the Baptist, who even in the womb recognized the Lord. See, John the Baptist was the forerunner for Jesus. God had given him the knowledge of who the Messiah was going to be, and eventually John and Jesus met, and John just knew. He looked, he pointed so that his disciples, his followers could know. He says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, Mary, if you need to understand that I can do anything, just look at Elizabeth. And then know this is possible for you, because nothing is impossible with God. So let me ask you, what do you want for Christmas this year? Maybe it's a new coat, and I hope you get it. Maybe it's that vacation in Bermuda in February, because we're from Wisconsin. Perhaps it's the new iPhone 7 or the latest version of the Xbox that you've been hoping for. But have you thought about asking for something for Christmas that is absolutely impossible? Is there something in your life that you have not turned over to God because you don't think he would do that for you? Now, please don't misunderstand me. God is not like Santa Claus, a dispenser of gifts to good girls and boys. God is so much more. Today is the start of Advent. It's a time of preparing. Preparing for the celebration, the coming remembrance of the birth of Jesus. You know, Jesus did miracles when he walked this earth. And he hasn't stopped doing them in our time just because he's in heaven. We only need to pay attention, you and me, to the miracles that happen around us, the big ones, the small ones, to know that it is true. They happen to people that we know, sometimes even to us in our lives, as God chooses to perform them. And I'm also not preaching a message of prosperity here this morning, where we simply ask and God gives. But sometimes, frankly, my friends, we hinder God in his ability to do things in our lives because we don't think God is big enough. Oh, but he is. God does the impossible all the time. How can a virgin have a baby? How could the creator of everything squeeze himself down into that little bundle of joy, a baby that size? Well, the answer is because God is God. And so I invite you this Advent season to be a person like Mary, a woman who in awe and wonder of how great God is, who when asked by God's angel to participate in this miracle, simply said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Oh, my friends, let's just give God the impossible this Advent season. Trust him with what he will do. And then have faith enough to be guided by his word, his will, his ideas for our lives. Let us pray. Awesome and wonderful God, help us to know and remember the marvelous story of Christ's birth and how even now in our lives there is nothing impossible and your will is a wonderful thing for us in our lives. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.